Visiting with author Marie Mutsky-Mockett, author of American Harvest, God, Country, and Farming in the Heartland. Going to continue.
The other thing that I would say is Eric, because he's been on the... There's a wonderful moment in the book where we get an experimental combine delivered to us. The company is going to test out its combine. And there's a gentleman who drives a semi who delivers the combine. And Eric comes up to me and says, you need to listen to how he speaks. He comes from some kind of religious community, and the truck driver just looked like a guy. You know, he was wearing a button-down shirt with a hat. But he had this cadence that sounded like he came from one of these old order Anabaptist communities. And in fact, he was somebody who had fled an old order, I think it was a Mennonite community, but he still had this lilt, this accent. So Eric was incredibly good at picking out who people were and knowing if they were Mormon and just showing me this diversity that exists in the Great Plains that I was completely blind to before this trip.
Right, visiting with Marie Mutsky-Mockett, author of American Harvest, God, Country, and Farming in the Heartland. So Marie, as you got the diversity of religion, did you get the contradictions that you encountered during the summer? Why do religious farmers think GMOs are just fine? And why do the city-dwelling atheist friends certainly don't want to eat GMOs, hate vaccinating their kids? talk about the contradictions there.
Yeah, and you know, and I haven't seen very much in the news about how people are feeling about vaccination now. I haven't seen that news story.
Yeah.
It may be prominent, but it's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Yeah.
What you do see in the news over and over again is we're going to need to shelter in place or do some semblance of sheltering in place until there is a vaccination. I see that, but I haven't seen how do people who are against vaccination feel about the vaccination. And I think, you know, and I think that that's, I mean, I don't know. Maybe we don't know enough yet for that to be a story, but I think it's an interesting question.
Yeah, and I think with people of that sentiment, the anti-vaccinators can't wait to be vaccinated against COVID-19.
This is the thing. I mean, people often will suddenly change the way that they feel when they're under threat, I guess. Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I would ask this conversation of most of the people that I met. And I will say right now that I don't necessarily have a definitive answer, but the answers were fascinating. They were everything from, you know, in the Bible, God makes it clear that we are supposed to make things, and he gives us dominion over the land. This is something that was said to me very often, and that was one way in which it was understood that we are to use machinery, technology, in order to be productive on earth. I spend less time in the city, but there are some scenes in the city where it's kind of made clear. There's a moment in the book when Eric, who's the lead harvester, comes to see me in the city on a kind of field trip, and the thing he most wants to do is visit Whole Foods. He's never been to a Whole Foods. And I take him to a Whole Foods, and he looks at all of the products for sale, and then he looks at me and he says, do you understand that a lot of this is marketing? These labels that tell you that this, you know, that this artichoke, which is more expensive because it's organic, that's marketing. Don't think that this is somehow a better artichoke. And so the implication is that people in the city make these purchasing decisions in the grocery store based on marketing that they're fed. That's one of the things that he implies, and that's a little bit discussed in the book. But I think the other thing that is very important, and I wonder if we're getting an awareness of this now, you know, I didn't know prior to working on this book that we already cultivate 37 to 38% of the land that is arable, of the surface area of the land that's across the entire planet. So if we need to make more food, we will need to convert more forests into arable land, which we don't want to do. Remember, there was such an outcry over the Amazon forest being burned, specifically, I think, to raise soybeans.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we have a rising population. And so there is a UN report that has come out which warns that by 2050, we will not have enough food or produce enough calories to feed the population. And therefore, we will need to use technology in order to meet the calorie demands of the population of people. So then adhering to quote-unquote natural methods, which don't involve science or modernity or machinery, doesn't seem like such a realistic idea. And so all of that, I think, is those conversations are contained within the book. And I do think it's interesting now. I was saying to somebody the other day, there's a lot in the news right now about farmers, and the term is used sort of blanketly, pouring out milk and burying lettuce and then showing people who are in line for food. And the implication being that there isn't enough food, but there is enough food in the United States, and there will be enough grains, but some of the distribution around the perishables, you know, is kind of broken. And so I think it's possible that we will not be necessarily seeking out premium foods that are more expensive. It's a very interesting time for sure.
Yeah.
around the issue of food and food security.
Yeah, Marie, the joke when Whole Foods opened was, it's really the name of the story is Whole Paycheck.
Every time I go there, that's what I think.
Yes.
It is an amazing store, and there are things that I buy there that I can't buy anywhere else, but it does always astound me how expensive it is.
All right, visiting again with Marie Mutsky-Mockett, author of American Harvest, God, Country, and Farming in the Heartland. And Marie, over the last few minutes, we've discovered that you do have a deep faith. You are related to the land. Your harvesting history goes back to your childhood, but you do not have a Japanese name, but that is your descent.
It is. My mother is from Japan, so that's what the middle name is. And actually, my first name, Marie, it was my father's mother, my paternal grandmother's middle name, but it also turns into Mari in Japanese, and so I'm known by Mari or Mari-san when I'm in Japan. So my parents kind of came up with a flexible name. They were very thoughtful in how they put the name together.
And so as you traveled the harvesting route from Texas up to the upper Midwest, how were you greeted?
People are so friendly in the Heartland in general. I was always very well treated, I think. Nobody was mean or rude, but I was an oddity. I did stand out as sort of a strange-looking person. I think part of me knew that that would be the case, but it was also a little bit of a surprise. And I also didn't really, I think, carry myself like a farmer. You know, I didn't look like a farmer's wife. I was always happy when I would drive the pickup truck and I would park it correctly, because, you know, you have to park the pickup in a place where the semis can still get out and the combines can get in, but you can't park on, like, where the ground is wet. So anytime I figured out where to park the pickup correctly and somebody would say, oh, you park like a farmer's wife, I would feel very flattered. but you know, I looked a little bit different. And so, particularly toward the end of the book, when we were actually in our RV, in an RV park on an Indian reservation, and everybody thought I was a Native American, that was not something that I was expecting in the course of writing the book.
All right. Well, Marie, you sent out review copies before the publication date on April about the 10th, and were you surprised at the positive reviews that came forward?
I had no idea what to expect, and I was just so thrilled by the reviews that came out. And I was really moved that serious, you know, sort of mainstream publications like the San Francisco Chronicle and the New York Times had nice things to say about the book. I was equally happy that some Christian publications saw into the book and saw into things that it happened to me in ways that I did not. But I wanted people in the city to understand how hard men and women work in farming and some of the pressures that they go through, you know, the tornadoes, the huge hailstorms. And I also wanted to be able to have conversations with people in the Heartland saying, you know, I'm here sincerely trying to see the work that is being done here and put it in the book to share. So I've been very moved. And my ambition really was to have a book that could help start a conversation. And the reviews sort of, to me, continued the conversation. And that's been very exciting.
Super. All righty. Marie Mutsky-Mockett, Muddy Mockett, author of American Harvest, God, Country, and Farming in the Heartland. The book from Gray Wolf Press, available, I would suppose folks can find it at their bookstore, or can they order it online, and can they read it online?
They can, and if they do the audiobook, they'll get my voice. I recorded that before I got confined to my home along with everyone else, so it is available in various forms, yes.
I'm holding the book in my hand right now. It's nearly 400 pages, and it will occupy a lot of people's time, and people have a lot of time on their hands right now, but it's also a wonderful and beautiful book. Thank you very much.
Thank you so very much. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
You are welcome.